One summer, Max Lucado, who happens to be one of my favorite authors, was in high school. He worked in a West Texas oil field. And he said that at lunchtime, the workers in this oil field would tell jokes and play cards. And he said that for 30 minutes every day in the heat of the day in that Texas oil field, that oil patch would become little Las Vegas. One day during lunch, the guys were all gathered around, Max himself included, and the supervisor walked toward them, and they wondered, did he have an extra job for them? Was he going to come and tell them that some sort of bad news, or was this going to be something good? And as he walked up, he had a sort of a sheepish look on his face, and he said, fellas, I just wanted to invite, and sort of stuttered a little bit, and they could tell he was uncomfortable with whatever it was he was going to say, so they got a little scared. And then he blurted it out. He said, I just wanted to tell you that our church is having a service tonight, and I want to invite you all. Max thought to himself, as a young man, he thought, this is unbelievable. This was back in the day when you could talk about church at work. And he thought to himself, he's talking about church out here? While these people are cussing and playing cards and having their gambling time at Little Las Vegas here. He said, I wanted to invite you guys to come along in case you're interested. And then there was a awkward kind of a silence, and nobody said anything, and some of the guys stared at the ground, and others just kind of looked at each other, and nobody said anything. And he said, well, that's it. If any of you want to go, let me know. And he left. And then Max and the rest of the employees all just sort of laughed it off, and nobody went. He says that 5 years later, as a college sophomore, he was struggling with a really big decision in his life. And he admits that he had drifted from his faith, but he wanted to reestablish his faith and get close to Jesus again. And so, but he thought to himself first, but the price is too high. You know, here I am in college. People might laugh at me. And then that's when he thought about the supervisor in the oil field that day. He thought, that supervisor's love for God and for them had been greater than worrying about what little embarrassment might come his way for inviting them to church. And then Max wrote these words, so I came home. Throughout the pages of the scriptures, we find a God who loves us and who wants nothing but the very best for each of us. Sometimes God speaks to us directly. I believe that. At other times, God speaks to us through other people, like that supervisor. In either case, it's up to us to listen, first of all, and then to respond one way or another to the voice of God. 3 points this morning. First of all, God does speak. One of our little motto in the UCC is, God is still speaking. We believe God is still speaking today. Samuel was just a young boy when he went to live in the temple with the old priest Eli. Samuel's mother, Hannah, had dedicated her son to God's service, and that's an interesting story in itself, too. I won't go into it today. But Samuel was young and had all the energy and enthusiasm of a young boy, whereas Eli was old and his eyesight was failing him and he was getting on in years. Eli's sons were next in line to be the priests, but they were not Eli. They were not, it would appear, very fit for the job. So The scripture tells us that the word of the Lord was rare in those days and that God didn't really speak to people very often. Samuel's room was in the sanctuary, right next to the Ark of the Covenant. And one night while Eli and his sons were sleeping in the next tent, God calls out to young Samuel and he says, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel's scared. "Who's that?" He runs to Eli. He thinks it must be him. Who else could it be? He must need something. So he answers and gets out of bed and goes to his tent. And he says, "Here I am. What'd you need? You called?" Eli was sound asleep. He says, "I didn't call you. Go back to bed." Samuel goes back to bed and he's thinking, he's sure that he heard something. Somebody was calling his name. And then as he falls asleep again, it happens again. Same voice calling his name, "Samuel." And again, he runs to Eli. This time, he's sure that it was someone calling him and that it had to be Eli. Same thing happens again. Eli says, "It wasn't me. Go back to bed." And then it happens a third time. And once again, he runs to Eli's side. And we're told that Samuel did not know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. I think the version that Pastor Kay read said that God had not yet spoken to him. So he didn't recognize who it was. And he thought, "Who's calling?" The story gets interesting. Just to shift gears for a moment, there was a man named Bob who was raised in a Christian home. By the time he was 16, he'd given up on trying to please God. He said it is like a lot of people do. He figured he was always offending God and doing bad things anyway, so he decided to put his religion and his faith behind him. And one day after he was married, Bob was out working, and he was working in Wyandotte, Michigan. And he decided to eat lunch at a restaurant. He sat down at the lunch counter. He didn't know anybody in the place. He had strangers sitting on his left and another on his right. And as he sat there eating his lunch, somebody tapped him on the shoulder, and he turned around. And there was this gentleman standing there. He had no idea who he was, and he looked Bob square in the eyes, and he said, "I want to see you in church." Wouldn't that be an experience? He said he was dumbfounded. He was also embarrassed because he hadn't been to church for a long time. Thought to himself, "Why me? And who is this guy?" And then he thought, "Well, maybe this guy is, you know, out soliciting people for his own church." So he said, "I don't live in town here, so I can't come to your church." And the man said to him, "I didn't say what church. I said I want to see you in church." And Bob thought, "Well, that's really strange." He turned around and took a bite of his food and was mulling this over in his head and turned back around, and the guy was gone. Looked all over the restaurant, but he couldn't see him. Went home that night, told his wife what had happened in the restaurant. And she said to him, "Sometimes, you know what, Bob? You're not so smart." If that man, who you don't know, told you that he wants to see you in church, and then told you he didn't care what church, who do you think it might have been speaking through this guy? And she said, "If God wants us to go to church that bad, let's start going to church." And so they did. And soon they became active members in one of their local churches. God does speak. God speaks in many, many ways. He speaks through people. He speaks through situations and circumstances. He speaks through the scriptures. Many other ways. Point number two is that sometimes we don't listen. We really don't listen. It took old Eli 3 times before he realized that it was God that was calling Samuel. Now, wouldn't you think that a priest who had devoted most of his life to serving God would realize sooner who was on the line, who that was calling? Anyway, he finally got it, and he tells Samuel, if you hear that voice again, say this, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Why would God be calling Samuel? Samuel was a young boy. It doesn't matter. God calls people of all shapes and sizes, of all colors, of all different cultures, and he calls people of all different ages. It doesn't matter that he was a boy. We're never too young or too old to serve God. Did you hear that? I said never too young or too old to serve God. Anyway, Samuel goes back to bed. If he hears that voice again, he's going to respond the way that Eli told him to. And so it happens again. God speaks. What about us? What stops us from hearing? Could it be sometimes we're not listening? Maybe we need to train ourselves, teach ourselves, remind ourselves to listen for the voice of God. There was a lady named Ruth Andrews who had a decision to make. This was years ago, and she wasn't making enough as a substitute teacher to stay in her apartment. She couldn't afford it anymore. She wasn't sure what to do. She was considering taking a live-in job caring for an elderly woman, but the family hadn't decided whether or not they wanted to hire her, so she was in a quandary. But one thing that Ruth knew was that she was sure that she didn't want to leave her apartment. And she was really hoping that a job would come up and she wouldn't have to move. Time was running out and she was in a panic. She needed to get this solved. One day, after praying, she was reading her Bible and she found these words from the 46th Psalm. This is one of my favorite verses. I have it. I have a little wall hanging in my office. She read these words, "Be still and know that I am God." At that moment, she realized that she was trusting people and what they said more than she was trusting God. She was acting as if God had been taken by surprise by her situation, her problems, and that God might not know what to do. Reading those words, "Be still and know that I am God," she realized how foolish she had been. She saw that it was time to just calm down. Boy, don't we all need to hear these words today. Calm down and listen. So she could hear God speak to her in her need. And that was what she did. She learned to wait on the Lord, and things worked out for her in time. She learned a lesson that she would never forget. She says, "By stopping to listen for God's voice, I was and I am learning to be calmer in the storms." Yeah. Sometimes we miss God's voice because we're too busy being in control ourselves. God speaks. Sometimes, not good for us. We're not listening. And then that brings me to my final point, my final truth about this story. The right response is always, "Here I am." After waking old Eli up for the 3rd time, Samuel goes back to his bed, and he would be called 1 more time that night. And this time, when God says, "Samuel, Samuel," he knows who it is. And he pops up out of that bed, and he says exactly what Eli told him to say. "Speak, for your servant is listening." That's what God wants to hear from us. God spoke to Samuel. One reason I think we might be slow in hearing God's call is we might not want to hear what he has to say at times. That night in the temple, God spoke to that young man and gave him some very disturbing news. Told him that he would become a prophet. Told him that Eli was on his way out. Told him, I am about to punish his house forever. God had seen enough of Eli's sons, and Samuel would take Eli's place. Samuel probably didn't want to hear this, but God assured him that he would not be alone. Take some lessons from what God told Eli. I'm sorry, told Samuel that night. We need to understand that if God calls us, and if we answer, here I am, there might be changes, but you're not going to be alone. There's a lady named Peggy Terry who was living in Montgomery, Alabama, back in the 60s, during the big bus boycott. She says that seeing all of this up close absolutely changed her life. Here's a quote from her. It didn't leave you in the same comfortable spot that you were in. You had to either be for it or against it. And she says that she remembers seeing white men throwing black women into buses. She remembers seeing Martin Luther King Jr. beaten outside of a city jail. He came out of the jail in all white clothes. She remembered it clearly. And about five or six white men approached him and began to beat on him. And as she watched this, something clicked inside of her head. She was there with some other white people to see this happen. And she said, I'm so thankful that I went down there that day, because I might have gone all my life just the way I was. But at the jail, she saw people beating up Dr. King, who did not fight back. He didn't punch them in the face like I would have, she said. He didn't cuss them out like I would have. He didn't do anything. He didn't say anything. It turned me upside down. And as she watched what was happening, she felt something stirring inside of her. And at that moment, she realized that she had to do something. Before the night came, she too had been arrested and found herself in jail. From that day on, she joined the protest for racial justice. She said, I felt that I was doing something. I believe that you act on your beliefs. Some people wouldn't agree with what she did, but all of us would agree that when God speaks, it's time to make decisions. Are we going to listen? Samuel was unable to go back to sleep that night. He'd been woke up four times in one night. Now he had this difficult message to think about and consider. He spent the rest of the night awake, and then everything happened just exactly like God told him it was going to. Eli's sons were killed, then Eli himself died. And in the last verse of chapter 3, we read that all Israel knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. God came through on all of his promises. God speaks to us today in many ways. We need to spend more time being still, listening. Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. That's a powerful prayer. Are we listening? Are we listening to the people around us? Are we paying attention to circumstances? Are we listening to God? Then when we hear, how are we responding? I believe that there are great days ahead of us. They aren't great now, but they're going to be. They are great in some ways. We just need to ask God for guidance, for patience, for perseverance, not just to get through these difficult days, but to enjoy God's blessings even in the middle of all the darkness, in the middle of all the storms. We say we trust God. We preach it. We teach it. We sing it. How about we live it? Prove it by our lives. Ask God how God wants us to muddle through this mess that we find ourselves in. Then, when God tells us, let's be sure we're listening for answers. And then, let's act. Let's do it. Amen.